This is Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Good to have you. Thanks for being along. It's 10:05, so time for party of two. And hey, look who it is. Amanda Galbraith, principal at Navigator and host of Free for All Fridays at 1 on News Talk 1010. How are you?
Good, Jerry. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm always happy to talk to you. What's going on with the baby?
Oh, it's 39 weeks today. The baby is not interested in leaving, so
no?
I wait anxiously for
Is mom interested in the baby leaving?
Mom would, yes, very much. Mom would like the baby to leave. Mom would like a cocktail. Mom would like to be a mom. So, yeah, all of the above.
Mom would like a cocktail.
Yeah.
You should have one brought in a container to the hospital.
Oh, that is the plan, Jerry. That is the plan. I'm like, there better be a bottle of wine or something when this happens.
So. All right, then. Well, good luck to you. my whole morning was thrown off. Actually, my whole 24 hours sort of thrown off because I misplaced the phone. At first, I thought I had lost it, and then I was in a panic mode. But we figured out that I'd left it here at the radio station. But how much of your life does your phone rule, do you think?
A fair amount of it, especially when I'm like fully working. I'd say right now when I'm like waiting, a little less, but
yeah,
it would definitely disrupt my day. Although I've lost it or misplaced it for a couple hours before, and I've actually really enjoyed it. I found it quite relaxing because you just kind of can be, as opposed to always checking stuff.
Well, sure. And I get that there have been times when I've left my phone, upstairs or something, and I'm watching a Jays game or I'm talking to my wife and my hand is reaching out for the phone. And I think that's dysfunctional. And I need to deal with that. And just purposely taking your phone and shutting it off and putting it away somewhere for a little while is probably good for all of us. But that's different than thinking, when's the last time I backed that thing up and how many numbers have I just lost and I don't know how to phone anybody?
Yeah, well, that's the nice thing about an Apple is it automatically backs stuff up. But I've certainly done things where I have, like, especially when I go on vacation, I do deliberate digital detoxes. So no cell phone when I travel around. I don't wear my Apple Watch. I delete all my apps for all the social media stuff and just kind of, exist as we did 15, 20 years ago. And it's amazing. You can survive.
I just wrote that term down, deliberate digital detox.
Yeah, 10 out of 10 would recommend. You'll be a better person for it. My heart rate goes down like 10 points.
Okay.
When I do that.
Yeah. I'm not, that baby has said, I'm not arriving until you get rid of that stupid phone, because I can already see what a problem it's
going to
be.
That's all it takes. I'll throw the phone out the window now.
All right. So the headline in the Star said, Toronto isn't paying city planners enough. That's driving up house prices. You were at City Hall with John Tory for a period of your career. Although I talked to one person this morning who said, the issue is not that we don't have enough city planners or pay them enough. It is that we have 1,000 policies and no priorities.
Yeah, I think it's probably, I listened to that interview too. I think it's probably a little bit of all of the above, right? Certainly attracting talent, like everybody's finding it challenging, in particular if the salary isn't competitive in a city where affordability is low, which is ironic for a planning division. But yeah, I also think there's a lot of red tape at City Hall around development. We're one of the longest wait times in the GTA to get something approved. And we're, reaping the benefits of that, or the negatives of that now, I should say, which is we're way behind the eight ball in affordability and building housing. So I think for sure a competitive salary at City Hall is probably a challenge. That being said, the benefits they get are pretty massive compared to other private sector places. And I also do think for sure that the regulations, the red tape, really does stymie development in a way that, it doesn't need to do so if they just kind of thought about it a bit more smartly.
Sure. I mean, the fact that it would take until, I wrote it down here, May of 25, if you and I put an application today for a housing development, just boggles my imagination. And, it's easy to say, are these people doing any work? I think they are doing work. But the problem is, the hamster on a wheel is doing work as well, but he's not going anywhere. And I think that's, are you okay with that analogy?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, right? And like the thing is, if it's not just yours, it's every other application, right? And they pile up. The pandemic, I think, probably slowed stuff down even further because people were working remotely and things weren't moving as quickly. I think for certain it's a challenge. I think, and this is something that's been recognized in the city for quite a while. They've definitely made efforts to fix it, but it's not, I don't think it's enough, especially with the crisis that we're facing. So I think that's one thing, certainly, the mayor and other folks, when they're reelected councillors, when they're they're reelected or elected should turn their attention to is how can we accelerate this? Because it's like a massive issue for the city, and it's a massive issue for the country, frankly.
Okay, I don't know if there's 1,000 policies or that's hyperbole, but it's more way too many.
There's too many.
Yeah, there's too many. So how difficult would it be then for the mayor, even with strong mayor powers, and the rest of city council to buckle down and say, we got to pare this list down by 50% and get some work done here?
I think it'd be tough. I think, we saw, that being said, there are the strong mayor system, but we saw even Premier Ford kind of take a run at it, right, from a provincial perspective. And there was a lot more aggressive policies he could have done, put on the table when he did the Housing Act that they put through. And they pulled them back because it's controversial, because communities get upset, because activists get upset. That being said, if you've got a strong mandate, which I would expect the mayor and other city councilors to come in to do, and one to kind of make change and do this, hopefully there's the political, I think there's a political will there. It's just there's a way. The other thing, too, as you rightly point out, is that the way City Hall functions is very different than the way the province functions. Like, the province can just table a bill, and if they got a majority, they can push it through. City Hall is a lot of consensus, significant amount of debate, and it's a lot tougher. There's reporting structures and that kind of thing. So hopefully, but I think everybody acknowledges that this is a major issue. The fact that you're getting both Build, which is an advocacy organization for developers, that you're getting affordable housing advocates speaking about this, and I think even, in that article, Greg Linter, the chief planner, acknowledged some of it, and says that everybody knows we have to fix it. So hopefully that'll be job number one in the new term.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of NIMBYism, and a lot of that, I think, comes from a percentage of 1% of the population, and they've sort of figured out this system. They know that they can put forth buildings for heritage designation. That stops everything. They can go to meetings and talk and talk and talk and talk, and it's the same cranky people, and there's got to be a way to put a stop to that.
Well, it's crazy, and like, I'm in Leslieville, and there's an old factory just down the street on Queen, which has been it looks like it's falling apart, and it's supposed to turn into condos, which would make sense for this area, right? Yeah. It's on Queen, major thoroughfare. They want to designate it. Some people have put forward designated a heritage building. Like, why? Like, what is heritage about the place? So it's just to stop more higher. Like, it's just, to me, it's just nuts, and we have to stop this. And I get you have your fully detached house, and I get you have your nice neighborhood, but like a fourplex on that is not going to ruin the value of your home. So people need to get over themselves.
Yeah, people need to get over themselves. That's the get over yourself bill is what I'm going to propose. Amanda Galbraith is with me. Now, this is really fun, kind of. The Onion, the parody publication, defends their right to parody in a very real Supreme Court brief supporting local satirists, because what has happened is a guy satirized a police webpage and the police arrested him. That sounds like an Onion headline, but it actually is true. And so the Onion, and in case people aren't familiar with it, here, to give you an idea how the Onion operates, they claim a global readership of 4.3 trillion people. Their publication is the single most powerful and influential organization in human history. It's the source of 350,000 jobs at its offices and its manual labor camps, and it owns and operates the majority of the world's transoceanic shipping lanes. Like, that's how they talk. But they should be allowed to.
Yeah, they should be allowed to. And I think, and by the way, the Onion's hilarious and fantastic. And if you're looking for some Toronto, there's something called the Toronto Herald, which is also a very funny kind of Onion-like parody thing of Toronto, which is great. This story is a bit bonkers, right? This guy put up a fake Facebook page of the police for less than a day. He was arrested and held for 3 days. They confiscated his electronics. It's just total overreach. Get if you get a call, they got 10 calls to the dispatch being confused about the Facebook page, but like, no offense, if it's a real emergency, you're not going on Facebook. I just think this is absolutely nuts, and we need to defend this stuff. So the Onion did put in a brief with that stuff. There's some serious parts there, and the Civil Liberties Union is also standing up for the states, and I hope they do. I mean, the good news is it's the U.S., so I think that this will I don't think this will go very far, but total overreach by the cops. It's nuts.
Yeah, they ran a headline once in the Onion: man discovers naked woman on internet.
It was about you, wasn't it, Jerry?
I finally figured it out. Amanda Galbraith, who is with Navigator and the host of Free For All Fridays at 1 o'clock on News Talk 1010. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right. This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
You're listening to Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.